A very interesting day for news media today. Tucker Carlson is now parting ways with Fox News, and Don Lemon has been fired from CNN. Let's talk about it. Okay, guys, happy Monday, and what a Monday it is. I'm your host, Amala Epinobi. This is Unapologetic Live. We're going to talk about some big news stories today that have broke this morning. Taylor's in Nashville.
Hey, happy Bombshell Monday.
Yeah, it really is. This really is a bombshell day. A lot of people were shocked to read the news this morning. We also have Cam in the producer's bay.
Wait.
Cam, are you there?
Cam's camera is not on.
Oh, okay. Cam's going to turn his camera on so you guys can actually see him. Let's talk about the news today. So I got a text from Taylor this morning going, whoa, you know, Tucker's done at Fox News and Don Lemon's fired from CNN. And these are two big names that we talk about often on this show. So I was shocked to hear that this was the case. Fox News, in a very, I guess, brief posting, said, we've decided, you know, to part ways with Tucker Carlson. We thank him for his service to the network as both a host and, prior to that, a contributor. And that was the extent of the news that we got. Tucker Carlson has yet to put out a statement on the matter on and why he has left Fox News. Could be firing, could be a mutual agreement on their part to part ways. We simply do not know. This comes in the wake of Fox News now agreeing to a settlement with Dominion Voting Systems for $787.5 million, although who knows if they'll end up paying that much. But they agreed to this settlement for Dominion Voting Systems because Dominion Voting Systems sued them for defamation after running with the election fraud narrative. Interestingly enough, Tucker Carlson is not one of the news anchors or hosts that is referenced in this defamation lawsuit for Dominion Voting System. It's actually another host at Fox News. So he has no particular part in this settlement as it stands, but as I said, they just decided $787.5 million paid to Dominion Voting Systems. So it's maybe a little hard to believe that it has nothing to do with the decision that's been made. Tucker did his last show on Friday. I believe that was the 21st, and will not be returning to say goodbye. So this is a very abrupt, out of nowhere decision on behalf of Fox News. And of course, people are freaking out, saying nobody is going to watch Fox News anymore. Tucker Carlson, of course, is the most famous of all Fox News hosts and is the highest ranking show as far as ratings are concerned. I think he brings in about 4 million viewers every single night to watch Tucker Carlson Tonight. He also has his spinoff show with Fox Nation, I believe, titled Tucker Carlson Today. So that will no longer be happening as well. So this is a big, big, big change for the network, because I'm sure a lot of people are going to altogether stop watching Fox News because Tucker was one of the only hosts that they would join the network to watch. Nobody has any idea where Tucker's going, what he's going to be doing, if he's going to hit up another news organization, maybe start his own media company, or if he's going to just go on an independent venture. And nobody has any idea why this has happened. So that's the extent of the news. I thought within, you know, the 5 or 6 hours of this story breaking, we would have some sort of information as to why this was happening. But there is none. Like we said, we have that Dominion Voting System settlement that just happened. And Fox News is currently involved in yet another lawsuit with a company by the name of Smartmatix for not $787 million, but $2.7 billion. Also for the election fraud narratives that were on the Fox News channel. So they stand to lose a lot of money. And now with Tucker leaving the network, or the network parting ways with Tucker, I think they're going to lose even more. Anybody have any ideas what's happening here, Taylor? Any conjecture?
We have nothing to tell you guys today, just that this happened. We have no reasons or understanding of why. No, there, you know, like you mentioned the Dominion scandal. In that, I think I was reading a Wall Street Journal article. They were incorporating some texts that were revealed in relation to that, that were between Tucker and Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, that had some not so nice things to say about the leadership of the company and Fox News in general. So they're saying that that may have been a source of some tension. There was the recent Ray Epps drama where Tucker was a big skeptic of Ray Epps's role in January 6th, saying that he was a Fed and involved in that whole claim. And that could, you know, there's a lot of powerful people who don't like that. And then there's also, he was not friendly to Big Pharma either. And that, you know, in cable news, that's not a good thing to have one of your major hosts crapping on Big Pharma every opportunity he gets either. So there's, all we can really do at this point is kind of look at some of the things that, you know, what we do know and, you know, where there may be a little bit of smoke. Hopefully we do hear from Tucker soon and get some more information. I'm sure he'll have plenty to say as long as he's not constrained by an NDA or something like that. But in the meantime, we just, we have to look at just what facts that we do have and what we do know about the whole situation. Another interesting one that we mentioned right before we went on air is that BlackRock recently in February, I think, increased its stake in Fox Corporation to 15%. So that's another, you know, possible, it doesn't necessarily prove anything, but it's just, you know, let's put some of these pieces together and try to construct and make sense of this. And, you know, it does point us in a certain direction.
And it does seem like Tucker Carlson, although quite recently, has been getting sort of disillusioned with his position within the news media and just sort of the broader implication of what it means to be in news media today, being controlled by corporations and just outside interest and being told what to say. He's referenced in different interviews, which we'll watch some clips today, that he's noticed many people in media just being driven by money, by power, or just simply being told what to say by the networks they're working for. Now, he doesn't go as far as to say that's what's happening at Fox News, but it could be insinuated with some of the words that he's saying. And just to get an idea of the scope of this, of somebody like Tucker Carlson leaving Fox News, like I said before, he is the biggest host at Fox News. And Fox News is a section of the larger, you know, Fox Corporation at hand. Fox News brings in about, I think, 75% of the revenue of Fox is created by Fox News. And it would be normal to probably imply that Tucker Carlson is quite a big portion of that with how large his show is. So when you lose a host like this, they're going to be scrambling to find somebody new. Now, it could be a Fox host that's already working there and they'll just move them up to Tucker's slot. Although, I don't know, maybe they're going to be looking for a new talent. They say in the interim, with Tucker being gone, his show is just going to, you know, happen at the same time, obviously not with his name, and they will have just a carousel of already working Fox News hosts who are going to host his show every night. I'll be curious to see what the ratings look like for that carousel of Fox hosts. Now, funnily enough, AOC, a few days before this news broke, was talking about how Tucker Carlson shouldn't be allowed to be on air. And now we have this news coming out today. Let's watch that clip.
Federal regulation in terms of what's allowed on air and what isn't. And when you look at what Tucker Carlson and some of these other folks on Fox do, it is very, very clearly incitement of violence. Very clearly incitement of violence. And that is the line that I think we have to be willing to contend with.
Interesting. And now, a few days later, we have Tucker Carlson leaving Fox News. I think these bear no relation to one another. It just happened to be that she decided to bring up Tucker and the fact that he should not be on air at a very pivotal moment, I guess, and things just fell in line. Now, I don't think AOC is necessarily cheering on this news, because what it says to me is that Tucker Carlson has a major opportunity to become even a bigger behemoth in media, whether or not he chooses to go out on his own venture or work with another company. I imagine those 4 million people who tune into his show will follow him to wherever it is that he goes next. So alongside AOC, we also have The View, who thought this news was just the greatest news that they've heard all day. Let's watch the clip.
Word has just come down that Fox News Media and Tucker Carlson have agreed to part ways. Well, thank you for his service to the network and host and a prior contributor. Wave.
Come on, folks. Na 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 na. Responsible for the degradation that we see somewhat of our democracy in this country. And I just think, as a faithful person, look at God. Look at God.
Oh. Well, and he's a Russian propaganda artist. I mean, he's been the biggest purveyor of pro-Russian talking points. Yeah. So it's a good day for the Ukrainians.
Karma doesn't lose anyone's address. No. So.
Word is.
I mean, interesting. I don't think they quite understand what this means. Like, this is not necessarily a loss for anybody involved except for Fox News and their revenue, I would imagine. It's not a loss for Tucker Carlson. This is not some sort of sign off that Tucker Carlson is no longer going to be somebody that anybody listens to. Like I said, he's got those 4 million viewers that tune in nightly. Those people don't just go radio silent. He's not just going to go radio silent. So wherever he goes, they will follow. This is not the end of Tucker Carlson, and not necessarily something that I would see a good idea to cheer on like this. I don't know what they're thinking.
No, they're so out of touch. All of them, AOC and the View people. I mean, they're saying he's inciting violence. He's the number one cause of the degradation of our democracy. He's the biggest proponent of Russian disinformation and Putin's talking points. Like, what world are you people even living in? I wish, it reminds me of when Elon Musk was talking with the BBC reporter and he was like, can you name one example of the hate that you're saying you're seeing just prevail on Twitter? These people seem to think in narratives and think in terms, like they predetermine what they believe about a situation based on this like insulated elitist belief system that they have, and then just paint someone like Tucker with this broad brush that's saying, oh yeah, that's just a place that spews hate and he's just the cause of all our problems and he's degrading democracy and calling for violence, without being able to name one single example. Like, that should be defamation, to sit there and say that he's spreading violence. If there were any actual evidence of that, you know how quickly he would be called to account for that? But they can't back any of this up, and it just shows, you know, they are representative of the elitist mentality around Tucker Carlson. And that's where, you know, we mentioned BlackRock earlier. And I just wonder, you know, if you can say anything about Tucker, he was not under the control of Big Pharma, of the elites. He did not toe the line on anything. He opposed the COVID narrative. He wasn't really supportive of the Ukraine war. He violated the norms and what would be expected of a host that toes the line at a lot of turns. And somebody that just cannot be controlled, even if a company has to take a loss, they will, just to re-exert control. And I think that's how valuable it is. And so, again, we don't have any evidence of any of that or can say definitively that that's what happened. But, you know, you can definitely draw a connection between the elite interests and the desire for control over narrative and Tucker's and unwillingness to toe the line.
100%. And most recently with the January 6th footage that he decided to display on his show for the American people, and footage that nobody had ever really had the chance to see. And all he did was post the footage and then started a nationwide campaign to say that Tucker Carlson is trying to change reality and repaint what happened on January 6th, when all he did was get on air and show you footage that you had not seen before. So, I mean, these are fake journalists coming after a real journalist. And what should not be forgotten is that Tucker Carlson not being on Fox News does not stop the millions of people who watch him every night from feeling the same way. The Fox News network is the most popular network within the United States, beats out every single other news network. Why is that? It's because a lot of Americans feel the exact same way. The things that the Fox News hosts are saying is resonating with them. Now, that does not die just because the Fox News host isn't on at whatever hour Tucker Carlson comes on. Those ideas do not die. The sentiments are still there, and wherever Tucker pops up next, they will be. Now, here is a video of that people have posted in regard to Tucker now parting ways with Fox about a possible explanation as to why. This was when he was on the Full Send podcast.
Like, I've spent my whole life in the media. My dad was in the media. Like, that is a big part of the revelation that's changed my life, is the media are part of the control apparatus. Like, there's no. Yeah, I know. Because you're younger and smarter and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
But what if you're me and you spent your whole life in that world, and to look around and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. Not only are they part of the problem, but I spent most of my life being part of the problem defending the Iraq war. Like, I actually did that. Can you imagine if you did that?
Well, what do you think? What is one of your biggest regrets in your career?
Oh, defending the Iraq war.
That is it?
Well, I've had a million regrets. Not being more skeptical, calling people names when I should have listened to what they were saying. Look, when someone makes a claim, there's only one question that's important at the very beginning, which is the claim true or not? Mm. So I say, you know, you committed murder, or you rigged the last election, before you attack me as a crazy person for saying that, maybe you should explain whether you did it or not. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for too long, I participated in the culture where I was like, anyone who thinks outside these pre-prescribed lanes is crazy, is a conspiracy theorist. And I just really regret that. I'm ashamed that I did that. And partly it was age, partly it was the world that I grew up in. So when you look at me and you're like, yeah, of course they're part of the means of control. I'm like, that's obvious to you because you're 28, but I just didn't see it at all. And I'm ashamed of that.
Isn't that what the media tries to do, though?
It's their only purpose.
Right.
They're not here to inform you. Really? Even on the big things that really matter, like the economy and war and COVID and like things that really matter that will affect you. No, their job is not to inform you. They are working for the small group of people who actually run the world. They're their servants. They're their Praetorian Guard. And we should treat them with maximum contempt because they have earned it.
Interesting. Now, again, he does not specify what specific news organizations he's talking about. And it seems like he's placing just a large umbrella over all of them, and Fox News included. So if he was awakening to this and decided to say this publicly, who's to say that he's not talking about the very network that he now once worked for? And maybe he was just waking up to that. And this is where, the rubber met the road. And it just happened to happen over the weekend. And now he will not be returning this Monday night. Could be.
Yeah, that clip, too, just is so representative of why people trust and tune in to Tucker, because he's honest. He recognized his past mistakes and he talked about the need to be truth seeking and the need to be skeptical. And, you know, we talked about this on the show a little bit last week, but we're entering into a time where we've entered a time where trust is so scarce and people don't trust our mainstream institutions anymore. They don't trust the media. They don't trust the government. They don't trust academia or Hollywood or whatever it may be. And so they have to trust individual people, and you have to go to places, people like Joe Rogan, people like Tucker, people like Amala Ebenobi, that, hey, I can tell that you're shooting straight with me. You're willing to admit when you're a lying or when you've made a mistake, when, you back up what you say with facts, or you are willing to put your cards on the table and say, hey, I'm coming at this from a, you know, right-leaning perspective, but here's the other side. Like, that type of engagement is what wins people's trust. And when you shoot straight with people, and that's such a rarity, it's nowhere to be found in most of the mainstream media landscape. And so, Fox News needed Tucker Carlson much more than Tucker Carlson needed Fox News. And like you said, Amala, he's going to be fine because people trust him. Wherever he goes, they're going to follow because they don't want to be spoon-fed talking points that come down from elite interests. They want truth. They want people who will question, which is ultimately the media's job, right? Their job should be to question the government, to question the establishment. And in the last recent years, we've seen the media flip that around, and they've become the enforcers for the government and the enforcers for elite interests. And people aren't having it. And, you know, this is just, it's a sad day because it represents just how much capture we have in our institutions, even the ones with conservative labels. But it's also encouraging because you just know that the truth will win out, and Tucker's going to be fine. And like you said, I think his voice is going to grow even stronger now. Yep. I'm already seeing some Tucker 2024 or tweets on Twitter.
Yeah.
So he's going to be fine.
I've seen people speculating that this might be him putting his name in the hat for a presidential run, although I don't know that that is the case here. And that is the distinction between somebody like a Tucker Carlson or a Joe Rogan and say, you know, these ladies on The View, Whoopi Goldberg, Ana Navarro, Sonny Hostin. Tucker goes and, you know, they think people just watch Tucker because he's so hateful and he's so angry and he appeals to people's anger. And that's why they tune in every night, because they just want to be angry. No, they tune in because they trust him. Like Taylor said, that is why they watch Tucker Carlson. Now, if Whoopi Goldberg were to leave The View, do you think 4 million people in mass are going to go watch whatever Whoopi Goldberg puts out? Absolutely not, because she is nothing more than a pundit and just a talking head for whatever the leftist ideology of the day is. They go, they get ready in the morning, they're given their stories, and they're essentially taught what to think. So nobody's leaving if Whoopi Goldberg or Sonny Hostin or Ana Navarro is kicked off The View. But for Tucker, people will go wherever it is that he goes. And I hope it's independence. I hope that's what it looks like, because I think this could be just a revolution in media where people just no longer trust these massive corporations that are owned by BlackRock and Vanguard and all these other corporate interests. And they go, you know what? I just want one person and one person's team who's telling me the news like it is. Maybe they're giving me their opinion. Maybe they're not. But this is a person that I can trust and evaluate the information based on what it is that they say. And maybe that's the future. And I hope that is what's happened here. Now, in other news, we also got Don Lemon being fired from CNN after 17 years of service at the company. He tweeted out this short little paragraph. I was informed this morning by my agent that I have been terminated by CNN. I am stunned. After 17 years at CNN, I would have thought that someone in management would have had the decency to tell me directly. At no time was I ever given an indication that I would not be able to continue to do the work I have loved at the network. It is clear that there are some larger issues at play. With that said, I want to thank my colleagues and the many teams I have worked with for an incredible run. They are the most talented journalists in the business, and I wish them all the best. Now, you know, I'll side with Don Lemon on one thing. 17 years working at CNN, and many of them as a host on, you know, one of CNN's more major shows, and somebody from management couldn't directly come to you and say, hey, you're fired? That's kind of messed up. And you just have an agent reach out to him and say, you're fired. I agree with him. That's messed up. He deserves more than that with the space that he has held at CNN. And he's very much a face of CNN. If I think CNN, I used to think what Brian Stelter, who's now gone and is done at CNN, and Don Lemon. That's really all that comes to mind for me. Yeah. And Chris Cuomo. Yeah.
Who's also gone.
So they're really losing their ranks there.
Can you name it a host that's still there? I don't know. Is Aaron Burnett still there? I can't think of
I don't
any
even know
other
who that is.
Current CNN hosts right now.
Yep. That's all I got. And now now those three are gone. So wow. It's just going to be a fascinating time for that company. Now, again, this is another story where the two have parted ways, and we don't know exactly why. Even Don Lemon does not know why, considering that he only heard it through his agent. Now, some are speculating that some recent comments he made about Nikki Haley and a comment about the time that women are in their prime, which went viral after he said it on CNN, might have sparked a little bit of controversy that CNN wasn't willing to deal with, and they decided to get rid of him. There's also this interview with Vivek Ramaswamy, where they're talking about the issue of race back and forth. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy is of Indian descent. Don Lemon is a black man. Here's the clip.
The part that I find insulting is when you say today black Americans don't have those rights after we have gone through civil rights revolution in this country.
You are sitting here telling an African American about the rights and what you find insulting about the way I live, the skin I live in every day.
Here's where you and I have
the freedoms
point
that black and white, that black people don't have in this country and that black people do have.
Well, here's where you and I have a different point of view. I think we should be able to express our views regardless of the color of our skin. We should have this debate without me regarding you as a black man.
But
me regarding you as a fellow citizen.
You're
that's
sitting
what I think
here,
we should say.
Whatever ethnicity you are, explaining to me
whatever ethnicity
about
I'm,
what
tell
it's like to be black.
Whatever
America.
Ethnicity
I'm
I am,
sorry.
I'll tell you what I am. I'm an Indian American. I'm proud of it. But I think we should have this debate. Black, white doesn't matter.
I think we should have this
on
debate.
The content
should,
of the ideas.
If you're going to do it, you should do it in an honest way and in a fair way. And what you're doing is not an honest and fair way. Okay? We appreciate you coming on.
With thank due with respect, that. Don, I look forward thank to continuing that conversation. Thank you.
The conversation.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Papa.
What is so interesting about this, obviously, I'm 22 years old. I haven't watched much news in my lifespan. But the news that I remember watching, you know, as a younger person, was nowhere near this aggressive. You know, Vivek Ramaswamy is a presidential candidate sitting in front of you trying to discuss today's issues. I don't remember things getting this out of hand live on air when you are talking to somebody who is a presidential candidate and you can't keep things on the down low while still expressing your views. And most of the clips that go viral of Don Lemon are him arguing with people live on the news, which is just not what I remember the news being about. Of course, you're a journalist and you want to take people to task and you want to hold them accountable for some of the views that they express, and especially somebody who's going to be running for president. But I just don't remember it going this way. Now, I don't have any inkling as to this being a reason for him being fired. It very well could be. We do not know. There's no information on that. But, you know, bon voyage, I guess, because it doesn't seem like he's bringing in a lot of ratings at CNN. And if this is what he's bringing to the table as a host, I don't know. If there's evidence to the fact that, you know, Don Lemon's ratings are through the roof and people are willing to watch him and CNN is somehow silencing him in this, then we're having a different story here.
Yeah, they put him on that new morning show, I think CNN This Morning or something, a few months ago, and the ratings have been tanking since it launched. So he's clearly not a draw for audience. And when you watch a clip like this, it's you can pretty well see why. He's, like you said, he's become very disagreeable. And you know, to your point earlier, Don Lemon is really only as trustworthy as CNN is trustworthy. No one goes to CNN or no one goes out of their way to watch Don Lemon because, oh, I just have to see what Don's take on this is or what groundbreaking information or perspective I'm going to get from Don Lemon. He's such a well-articulated, well-thought-out person. His whole career, he's just kind of been placed in front of a camera and propped up, and he's replaceable. He's as replaceable as a bot because all he does is puppet the mainstream establishment talking points and the correct progressive orthodoxy way to view things. And he does it in his own way. And he's, you know, I'm sure like he's a talented speaker and TV presenter. We can give him that, but you know, he's not somebody that people trust more than anyone else they might see on TV, because he's just kind of spoon feeding you the same narrative that you can get on MSNBC or anywhere else. And I think, in large part, his demise here is part of the larger effort from CNN's new president to try to redeem the company's image, because they've become known as being so partisan, and where in the past they were a little bit more known for having good reporting and being on the ground and having news everywhere.
Right.
And yeah, so they're trying to pivot back in that direction. And I think that there have been a few casualties of that, Brian Stelter included. But I think Don Lemon just has gotten increasingly disagreeable and crotchety as they've kind of shoved him more and more to the side. And he feels like he earned this platform. But in reality, you were given that platform. The platform gave you credibility. You didn't give anything to CNN more than what they, you know, just put you out in front of people. You didn't add value to them beyond that, just being a talking head and a bot. So, mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it's sad the way that they did it, but also they don't really owe him that much.
Right. And the extra kick in the pants on the way out the door is that Tucker parts ways with Fox News on the same day and completely overshadows your announcement. How tragic is that? Like, of all things, I bet he's punching the air that Tucker parted ways with Fox News on the same day he got fired from CNN.
My ouster can't even be a story today.
Literally, yeah, this would have been the biggest story. This would have been the biggest story if Tucker had not had his news. Don Lemon would have taken the cake here, but now he takes nothing. And I think, much like Brian Stelter and Chris Cuomo, he's probably going to fall into obscurity. I don't see, like I said, the millions of people that watch Tucker will follow. I don't know how many people watched Don Lemon, but the people who watched Don Lemon, I don't see them following. But maybe he'll write some sort of tell-all book about CNN and expose them for, maybe he'll do something right in his time and in his tenure as a journalist, if we want to even.
He's going to come out as transgender and then he'll have
he'll be back at CNN.
Recognition again. Yeah. He's going to transition from a lemon to an orange.
Yeah. No. CNN hires new female anchor, Donna Lemon. Oh, if only. Now we're going to step out of the news media landscape right now and talk about, you guessed it, drag queens. We always have some new drag news on this story. I never
make it stop.
I never thought we'd be talking about drag so often on this show. I really thought this was just like a small drop in the bucket of news and that it wouldn't come up again. And it certainly wouldn't become some of the major stories that we're seeing right now. But alas, it gets bigger and bigger.
We're getting dragged into it again.
We're getting dragged into it again. Now we have Lizzo, who is like other artists that we've seen so far, Kelsea Ballerini and Maren Morris, pushing back on Tennessee's law that has banned drag shows in public places. And I will say that the Tennessee law, if you go and read it, does not explicitly say we are banning all drag shows in public places. It simply says that if you're doing something that is lewd and lascivious, if it is sexual in nature and involves a man dressing up as a woman or a woman dressing up as a man, you will not be allowed to do that publicly, and certainly not in front of children. So that's what the ban specifically says. But of course, all the artists in Hollywood gets involved and says, how dare you? How dare you do this to drag queens who are still able to do their jobs and their shows, mind you, just not in front of children and hopefully in private event spaces. But here's Lizzo on stage in Tennessee pushing back against the legislation by having drag queens on her show. All right, that's enough. I didn't need to watch the whole thing. So that happened. Again, Kelsea Ballerini did the same thing at the Country Music Awards. Maren Morris did a show in Tennessee where she said, I introduced my kid to some drag queens, so effing arrest me, Tennessee. And that was her major piece of activism for, I'm sure, the whole year. She'll make another statement in a few months about how you should transition children, and then she'll throw away her activism hat and go back to singing. But this is what artists are doing now. And of course, if any artist was going to do it, it had to be Lizzo. She has to take up the torch of activism anywhere that she can, whether it's the body positivity movement, the drag show movement, which I can't believe I am acknowledging as a real thing, or racism when she wins awards and says, you know, she is an oppressed black person and that she appreciates the opportunity to voice the black struggle. So yeah, we knew Lizzo was going to hop in this one. We just didn't know when.
Between Lizzo and the drag performers, they were about a Sam Smith away from having us all have our eyeballs burned out of our sockets by watching them all on one stage.
Gosh.
But really, it's such a weird hill to die on that I am pro sexualized performances in front of children. Like, what? When was that ever a cause that we want to, you know, rally around? And that is such a worthy cause that we all need to show our virtue, that we support this. Like, you're literally saying, I want sexualized performances in front of children.
Right.
When you're opposing this law, when you're saying Tennessee's being so terrible and so oppressive and transphobic, it doesn't even mention trans people. It just says, don't do sexualized performance in front of children. That's it.
Right.
And so the narrative just goes so far, and then people counter the narrative with this absurd activism that at the end of the day is literally just saying, I am pro sexualized performances in front of children.
Yeah. And they're either saying that or they're saying, I am illiterate and decided not to read the bill. And in fact, I'm going to endorse something that I did not take the time to read. Those are the two options that you have. I didn't read the bill, or I'm endorsing sexuality and sexual acts in front of children. Now, speaking of just being a Sam Smith away, guys, on this show, a few days back, I covered this, I don't know what we want to even call this, a group called Drag Syndrome. And if you don't know what drag syndrome is, it is a group of Down syndrome adults that are being abused, in my opinion, into performing drag shows in front of other adults and presumably children who pay to go to these shows. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Amala, they're making the decision for themselves. You know, can't they make that decision for themselves and decide to do drag if that's the way they want to express themselves? And yes, I say, if you're an adult and you want to do drag, by all means, express yourself. But if you look into Down syndrome, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, we're people with Down syndrome are not functioning at the same capacity as adults without Down syndrome to make these decisions on their behalf. This is exploitation and towards a very clear and direct political end. And that's why they're doing. They're using the most vulnerable people, much like they use children in these political debates, to push forward and move the dial towards their own agenda. And that's what's happening with this drag syndrome group. Now, here's a picture on Instagram. And, you know, I covered this story before this happened, but guess what celebrity pops up to hang out with the drag syndrome group? None other than Sam Smith, of course. So we have Lizzo having drag queens on her show, Kelsey Ballerini doing it at the Country Music Awards, Maren Morris introducing her kids to drag queens, and Sam Smith endorsing having adults with Down syndrome be placed in drag and then having them perform for adults who pay to watch. And who's paying to watch that, by the way? I just want to throw that question out there. Who is paying to watch a show like that? And who is seeking that out? You guys come to your own conclusions. On top of that, we have another celebrity in the news, and that is Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon, who decided to post a video dancing. I can't play the music due to copyright reasons, but dancing with this woman here who I think I recognize, but not quite. I'm sure she's famous for something. And his t-shirts, their t-shirts, say drag is an art and drag is a right. You know, I miss that. I missed where drag was written down as a right and that we all have a right to perform in drag and to dress up. I guess I could dress up as a man. Taylor could dress up as a woman. Cam can become, I don't know, Cammy.
Cammy.
Yeah. I forgot where that was written in the Bill of Rights. It must have been an amendment because I just quite literally do not remember when drag was made a right. But here we are, and Kevin Bacon is, of course, endorsing it. And it's so weird to me, guys. It's so weird. I get it. You know, drag can be fun and cool or whatever. You know, I watched Mrs. Doubtfire as a kid. I even watched RuPaul's Drag Race as a kid, which is not a good thing to watch as a child. But I must have been left unsupervised at some point to have watched that. But, you know, I saw these things, okay? And I understand it. For adults, fine, dandy, watch your drag shows. If you're a man who likes, you know, putting on fake boobs and putting on makeup and dancing around in a dress and that's how you want to have fun on a Friday night, by all means, do it. I don't care. Have people pay to see it. Have adults come and pay to watch you in some adult show where you're dancing and singing and doing drag. It's fine. I don't think most people care about that. It's just when you usher children into this performance that it becomes a problem, and why that cannot be laid to rest, and why we have to have all of these celebrity activists dressing up in drag and having drag queens at their shows and wearing t-shirts that says drag is a right is beyond me. And it must be because they're just not reading. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, that's the Amala more charitable take I said before. It's either you are pro sexualization of children or pro sexualized performances in front of children, or like you said, you're just not getting your information from an accurate source. And you know, I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt that, you know, I think Kevin Bacon in his caption, he said, drag bands are bad karma, drag performers and the LGBTQIA+ community need our help, and has this little link that you can go support his cause that way. But again, that just kind of tells you that he thinks that drag shows or drag performers are just having blanket bans enacted on them. And it's misinformation. It's not true. That's not the case. These laws are very specific in what they outlaw. And so to just run with this narrative, it just shows, kind of tying into our previous conversation, like if you're listening to people like CNN and people like Don Lemon who are just puppeting the mainstream talking points and places like The View, then you're going to come away with this perception that, oh my God, there are these, you know, these conservatives who are being so puritanical are banning these drag shows in their entire states, and trans people are under assault and all this stuff. And then you just skip right into activism. But like Tucker said on the podcast clip that we played, you should first ask, is this the truth? Am I being told the truth? Is the information that I'm being given true? And then we can jump into the second order things, which would be activism and you know, what we're going to respond to that with. But first and foremost, like, get down to the truth and get down to the facts. And mm-hmm. it just shows how our society operates, is on one hand, you have the media that's pumping out narratives, and then you have celebrities who just gobble them up and then use, you know, are just dumb enough to go out there and use their influence to spread them. And then you have a populace that just doesn't know any better and is running along with it as well.
Yeah. And then you have, you know, like in this Kevin Bacon post, yeah, go support the campaign that's supporting the ACLU Drag Defense Fund. Where's that money going? How many people are giving money to the Drag Defense Fund, and where exactly is that money going? Because drag shows are not being banned across the board. They're just being told you can't perform in front of children. It's just crazy to me. So where's your money going, sis? If you're paying money to this Drag Defense Fund, oh my gosh, pay for somebody's, I don't know, put it for your kids' trust fund or college tuition or something that actually matters. Not the Drag Defense Fund. Oh, goodness gracious. Last bit of news here is we're going to check back in on Bud Light and Dylan Mulvaney. You all know the story. Bud Light featured Dylan Mulvaney as, you know, one of their influencers by sending Dylan Mulvaney a can that was not sold in stores with Dylan Mulvaney's face on it to celebrate his 365 days of being not a woman, but a girl. I must always note that. Not a woman, but a girl. So they sent Dylan Mulvaney this can, ended up losing, what, $6, $7 billion in market cap after making this decision, because it just so happens that people who drink Bud Light are not necessarily down with transgender ideology. Who'd have thunk it? Who would have known that this would have been a bad marketing move on behalf of Bud Light? So they did this, and now they've had two leaves of absence instated. One for the VP of marketing, who was a female who was deciding she wanted to make the brand more inclusive and sort of entice young people into drinking Bud Light. And now is Daniel Blake, who oversees the marketing for Anheuser-Busch mainstream brands. He's taken a leave of absence following the backlash from Dylan Mulvaney's Bud Light advertising campaign. I've also heard through the grapevine that Anheuser-Busch has now hired consultants who specialize in speaking to conservative audiences to help with Bud Light's marketing. So they seem to be making a quick turn on the track here to sort of fix and remedy the decision that they made with Dylan Mulvaney. Now, do I think that overall this is going to tank Bud Light, or it's going to cause irreparable damage to their company? Is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? Probably not. I think much like anything that happens in the news, these things have a knack for blowing over, be it in a couple of weeks or even months. It could take quite a while for this to blow over, but I feel as though it will, and Bud Light will somehow be able to recuperate from this. But the broader thing that I think makes this a win and a positive is that it shows other companies that you might want to think twice before you make a decision like this. Not only are conservatives pissed at Bud Light and deciding not to drink the beer anymore, their main consumers, but also trans people are pissed at the fact that Dylan Mulvaney was chosen. So they really, really effed up here in choosing Dylan Mulvaney and deciding to make this choice. And now we have two people on a leave of absence. They could possibly be returning to their jobs, and this just might be a little trick that Bud Light is playing to say, look, oh, we put them on a leave of absence, and we've hired some consultants who work with conservatives. Are we doing the right thing? Can you forgive us? Can you buy our yellow water again, please? But who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, Bud Light and Dylan Mulvaney deserve each other, because Bud Light is to beer what Dylan Mulvaney is to being a woman. So there's that.
And a mockery.
On top of that, did you see Joe Rogan? This clip was going viral on Twitter of him laughing at their ad that they put out in the wake of the Dylan Mulvaney controversy. They put out the most like vanilla pro-America. They went back to like those patriotic horses that they had from their old ads. And it was like the most generic, like, we love America, we want to bring people together. Like it had the same sentiment as the CEO's super vanilla statement that he came out with in the wake of all this. And like you said, they are just reeling there. But again, like you said, they're showing that they're not really taking it to heart because you're putting people on a leave of absence, not firing anybody. And they're banking on the fact that it'll blow over, which it probably will. But I do think that you're right.
Sure.
That next companies will think twice. So.
And yeah, and here's that ad for reference for those of you who want to watch it. There's their new American Budweiser ad.
About a beer. Rooted in the heart of America. Found in a community where a handshake is a sure contract. Brewed for those who found opportunity and challenge and hope in tomorrow.
Oh, it's
raised
so good.
By generations, willing to sip, share, risk, remember. This is a story bigger than beer. This is the story of the American spirit.
Wow. And it just cuts and Dylan Mulvaney's like, "Hi, I'm Dylan Mulvaney and I endorse this message." Oh, that's so
funny.
I was
waiting for him to pop out at some point.
Right, right. Oh my gosh. I mean, imagine had they not done the Dylan Mulvaney thing and they just put out this ad, how much better they'd be doing. If only,
I mean,
if only.
We would at least just forget about the ad. It wouldn't be hurting them. I don't know that it would be inspiring the masses of Americans to rally around this
right.
beautiful horse running through the field and while some pleasantries are being said. But, you know, it would have been better for them for sure. You just never go down that route. But alas.
But here we are. Here we are on day whatever it is of being a girl. We're going to get into super chats, ladies and gentlemen. I'll have Taylor pull them up because I have not screenshotted.
All right.
Any of them today?
Just one second. Here we go. Wow, there's a fair few today. Okay, Diva Dawn says, "Love the hair and top, Amala. Hi, Taylor and Cam." Hello, Diva Dawn.
Thank you.
Avi DeSavvy says, "Don Lemon fired as well." I see. Hopefully, you stuck around.
Yeah,
got to see us react to that as well.
We're
so,
keeping up.
Yes, you called it, Bunty B. Hope y'all are well. Also, hey to the Discord peeps. Shout out to Discord.
Yeah, sign up by going to the link in the description, guys, and hang out with the Discord peeps.
100%. Waffles says, "Just want to say hi and thank you for the great content all the time. You helped me realize I'm not horrible for leaning right." Jeez.
You're not horrible. If you're watching this show, guys, you're not horrible. You're doing good.
Dixon Butts, there you are. How's it going? Tucker joining the Unapologetic with Amala crew. Hire Tucker.
Yeah,
I do not think we could afford Tucker.
I actually start tonight on Tucker's primetime slot as the new Fox News host. Yeah. I'm just going to be shilling for Big Pharma the whole time.
Omega Rasetsu says their quote unquote God is Azazel. So thus they think they can, thus they. And thank Azazel because their democracy is born out of the crypt of Azazel. Christians call Azazel Satan. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
That was hard to say. A lot of syllables. But all right. Thank you for that. Nicholas Tyler says, "If a tree falls in the woods and no one is around to hear it, did it make a sound or did Amala use her chiseled arms to set it on the ground quietly?"
Are these chiseled arms? Can you call them that? Can you guys even see my arms? What are you guys talking about? Is this just going to be a running joke?
I don't know. Must be a regular viewer, though, that's been watching your fitness journey,
yes.
I guess.
I'm still on it, guys. I'm still on it.
Monica Leah says, "Is Tucker going to work in Newsmax or some other media, or is he going to be self-employed media person?"
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think Newsmax
see.
Could afford it.
No, I don't think Newsmax could even nearly afford Tucker. No. They'd have to be shelling out a lot of dough for that.
Yeah, I saw someone say, like, what, Steven Crowder got like $200 million for 4 years or something like that. And they said that a deal for Tucker would start with a B in its letter.
Yeah.
Which I could believe.
I would believe that too. With
probably
how many
the most
viewers.
Valuable name in conservative media.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of speculation about Daily Wire, but Jeremy Boring tweeted this morning, the CEO of Daily Wire, and he said something along the lines of, "I'm sure Tucker has other plans, but we will bring out the big checkbook if you were willing to come." So who knows?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, hello,
gosh,
says Tucker
lives.
And Lemom teaming up their own platform. LOL.
I think one would be pulling more weight than the other.
That would, yeah. Don Lemon does need to find someone else to prop him up.
Yeah.
Don't think Tucker would take the bait, though. Alex and Taya says, Amala, please don't tell me you ate those oysters on Saturday. Plus, what is your guys' most favorite food to eat, and what day is Brett Cooper coming on again?
I am not a very big oyster eater. I think we had like, there was 24. I was with my boyfriend and my roommate, or ex-roommate, and I had like a couple. That's it. Oysters are not my jam.
Oh, yeah, you put that on Instagram. That's how he knew. I was like, that's kind of creepy, but I got it.
Also, no date with Brett.
How was that?
No date with Brett. And my favorite food is called egusi stew, and it is Nigerian. So you guys should try it. Go to your local Nigerian restaurant.
Dixon Butts, again, says Donna Lemon is past her prime.
The words are coming back to bite him if he makes transition. He's going through a different transition right now, though.
Sean McClure, recently discovered you, and I'm happy I did. You are amazing.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. We're happy to have you here.
Kate Svensson says, finally, I have caught the beginning. As always, I find encouragement in your common sense.
Yes, guys. We're always here. 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the beginning of the show.
Live streams Monday, Wednesday, Friday. The notifications are really spotty. Don't always go out on time. Don't trust them. Just set your alarms. I don't know. We need to come up with some kind of like notification email or something that goes out that we can send y'all. But I don't know. We'll work on that. Let me know if you think that's a good idea. Kathy S. says, cancel culture is the accepted norm now, so they're escalating the agenda. Remove everyone that exposes the truth, right or left. Next up, the Restrict Act to ban social media apps that we can use.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Who knows? I have a feeling there'll be more details here with the Tucker Carlson thing over the next couple of days, and we'll get more clarity as to why this happened. We'll see.
And he'll have a voice, and you know, he'll still be exposing the truth, so they can come after him as much as they want, but they won't shut him up. AV Harms says, advice for a conservative lesbian starting a podcast.
Do it. Get started. Just prop your camera up and start filming. That's all I can say. Just do it. I mean, that's what we do here, is just, we just get to it each day. And we started off really scrapping things together.
Really rough.
Really rough. We started off really rough. Now here we are. So just get started. Even if it's on your iPhone, just start filming yourself.
Fun fact, the cameras that we use today are hand-me-downs from Dave Rubin. Half of them are. And then the other half were in a closet somewhere at PragerU that had been ceased to be used by the production team that we just found or got a hold of somehow and just started live streaming and figuring it out as we go. So
we have we have gay conservative cameras. You can find some lesbian conservative cameras somewhere.
Yeah, we're looking to upgrade soon, so maybe we can pass them on to you and keep the through line going. Yeah. Diva Dawn says, I love the Budweiser Clydesdales. That's what they're called, the horses.
Yeah,
Clydesdale. Budweiser Clydesdales. But Budweiser's from St. Louis. This ad is for people who don't know our crime statistics. Yeesh.
Yeesh. A little bit too truthful there. Too soon. Too soon. Take it back.
Too soon. Sarah Mills, morning from Australia. Love your content. Keep it up.
Thanks. Appreciate it. That was a great accent, Taylor.
You watch Unapologetic with your morning Vegemite. Charles Trotman says, love the show. Why did Bud not just make a different product without messing with something already there? That was not smart. I mean, I think people still would have been pissed if they made a new product.
Yeah.
For trans pride.
Yeah. Well, here's Bud Trans, where we make actual beer. With Dylan Mulvaney's face on it. Yeah, I don't know that would work. Can't say that would work.
Man Bear Pig says, sorry, that just made me laugh. Would like you picture it as you say the word. Man Bear Pig, like, wait a second. Let me put that together. Okay. How I long for the Walter Cronkite days. Keep up the good work, Amala.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been comparing. I mean, obviously not in the issue at hand, but comparing Tucker to Bill O'Reilly, because Bill O'Reilly was fired from Fox News in, 2017, when he was the biggest host on Fox News. Of course, his were like sexual misconduct allegations, so we don't want to compare too much, but it's what happened here. And I think a lot of people maybe miss his commentary too.
Yeah, he's still out there somewhere, but I don't think that he had as much of a devoted, like, loyal following as Tucker did now. But I also think that's a product of the times. Like, media has become so fragmented and so, you know, like we said, just top down, here's how it works. And the voices like Tucker are so rare. So I think that's why he has such a loyal following. Anna Wright says, hi, newer listener here from Kentucky. Love the show and your attempt at empathy when reviewing a story. Thanks for being a reasonable voice to listen to.
Thank you. We're trying over here. Sometimes to no avail, but we try.
I mean, I feel like you're always pretty compassionate. Let's see. Stevie Capone says, it's not a coincidence that Hollywood, who's known for exploiting children for so long, is so adamant on sexualizing children.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't surprise me if you look back to some of the Hollywood stories of child actors and stuff. It is horrific. Horrific what's been happening behind the walls of Hollywood for so long, and still nobody's really been held accountable. So, yeah.
Who was the actress that, was it Jamie Lee Curtis or something, that had like the weird pictures of kids in her house or something people were reacting to?
She took a photo down that she had. And I want to say Ellen DeGeneres did the same thing or something similar. But yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis was the one who recently had some very just like weird, I forget what the picture was. I think it was a dead child or something. I don't want to misspeak. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, we have to say allegedly. Carlos Cotta, no message, but just gives a super chat. Thank you very much. Cave says, did y'all see the turf list with Buck, Angel, and Blair?
No, I've not seen that. I'll have to look it up. I really like Buck, and I haven't really watched much of Blair's content. I'll be honest. I have not seen a lot of Blair.
Carlos again. So he did send a message this time. Sending love from Spain. Keep up the good work. I'm going to bed now. 1 a.m. here.
Yeah, it's time to sleep. Thank you so much for staying up so late to watch. We appreciate you, Carlos.
And that was a Spanish laugh, by the way, that was spelled with J's. I think that's it.
Okay. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Let me know your theories. Why is Don Lemon fired? Why is Tucker Carlson fired? You know, Tucker is often accused of being conspiratorial. So let's you know, give the most conspiratorial thinking we can possibly have in the comments down below. Give me your wildest tinfoil hat conspiracies as to why Tucker Carlson has been fired from Fox News. We have one more super chat here. Jared's Journey says, remember what happened to the little girl in Poltergeist while she was on set? I have not heard that story, and I'm scared to look it up. You're already on a scary movie. What else could possibly happen? And I imagine it's horrible.
Sounds even more horrifying.
It does sound even more horrifying. I might look that one up. I'm not going to make any promises there. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific to 6 p.m. Eastern. Plus, we post videos every single day, so make sure you have that notification bell on. And if you're watching, make sure you're subscribed. I've noticed a large percentage of you watch the show but are not necessarily subscribed to the channel, so do your girl a favor and subscribe, because we greatly appreciate having each and every one of you here to watch the show every single day. Thank you so much for your support. Hopefully, I'm not fired by PragerU, making this a triple whammy for today's news. Don Lemon, Tucker Carlson, and then Amala Penobi. No, I think I'm here to stay, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.